The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. We are at you live and direct, January 20th, 2010, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Thanks for joining us here for 1 hour of the finest in news, information, interviews, music, and comedy by, for, and about the cannabis community. And joining me, my co-host, my good friend, and half-half-sister, Cannabis Carrie. Oh, and I did it again. I forgot to unmute. Ah, there we go. Cannabis Carrie.
I know other people that would like a mute button on me.
How's everything going up in beautiful Astoria, Oregon?
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Hey, folks, you know, Carrie lives up there in Astoria, Oregon, which a lot of people know was the site of the film The Goonies, as well as Kindergarten Cop. And it's really cool. You go up there, Carrie will give you the official tour. Look, it's the Goonies house. Ooh.
I love doing that. Seriously, any stashers want to come to Astoria, I will give you the tour. No problem.
The Goonies house. Hey, we got a lot of stuff coming up on today's show. Today is our dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who I am proud to be the first to announce is now full professor Mitch Earlywine. He used to be associate professor. He just got his promotion to full professor at the State University of New York at Albany. So, congratulations to Dr. Mitch. He'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be taking your questions on cannabis science, medicine, history, law, and culture. You want to know anything about marijuana, Dr. Mitch is the guy to ask. So we'll catch those in the chat room, and we'll ask those at the bottom of the hour. Cannabis Carrie's got your headlines for today coming up right after our first break. And every day we feature a daily toker tune. Today is Irie Wednesday, and Johnny Reeferseed will be bringing us some great reggae music to spend our 4:20 Eastern break. So stick around. It is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. By the way, if you want to catch up on all the latest news, interviews, and podcast downloads of the archives of this show, you can go to our blog, the Normal Stash blog, which you can find at stash.normal.org. Every single live show is archived there. You can listen to them in the Stash player on the right-hand sidebar, about halfway down, big green player. You can find all of the past podcasts for the past year, I believe, are still listed up there. So get involved with that. You can also read all the stories and check out all the hyperlinks that we don't have time to get to when we're running the live show every weekday. There's so much going on in marijuana law reform this year that you really need to catch up on the blogs to make sure you know what's going on. We've also got a chat over there and a lot of fun. Check it out, stash.normal.org.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford. from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today.
14.
THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint, kid? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Oh, lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Just lie to don't hide it.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
The World Health Organization data on mental health is the center of a new study on the sequence of drug use initiation, beginning with tobacco and alcohol, progressing to cannabis, and then on to harder drugs like cocaine and heroin. They look to see whether the risk of later drug use in a sequence is due to the casual effects of specific earlier drug availability and attitudes. They compared patterns and order of initiation of alcohol, tobacco, cannabis, and other illicit drugs use across 17 countries with a wide range of drug use prevalence. After comparing and analyzing the data, they discovered initiation of so-called gateway substances like alcohol and tobacco was not always associated with subsequent onset of other illicit drugs use based on background usage of gateway substances. Now, these results suggest that the gateway pattern is at least partially due to other factors, which implies that the efforts to prevent the use of specific gateway drugs may not in themselves lead to the reduction of the use of other harder drugs.
Oh, the gateway theory once again rears its ugly head. This has been debunked so many times. We can all go back to the 1999 Government Institutes of Health report that said that there was no credence to the gateway theory. There's nothing pharmacological about the use of cannabis that leads one to use other substances. However, there is a gateway between marijuana and hard drugs. And that gateway is the label that says you're an illegal drug user if you use marijuana. You know why they don't call tequila a gateway drug? Because when you go to the store to buy tequila, the guy selling you the tequila also doesn't want to sell you any meth. When you go to buy the tequila, you don't find it on the shelf next to heroin, right? Tequila is not considered a gateway drug because the people that use it aren't stigmatized with the label of being an illegal drug user. And when someone tries tequila, they don't try tequila and then think, oh, wow, they lied to me about what tequila would do. I guess they were lying to me about what cocaine would do. The problem, the gateway, if there's any, between marijuana and drugs is the fact that we lump them into the same category. They need to be separate categories. The Dutch have figured this out. The Portuguese have figured this out. So many people have figured out around this world that marijuana is not a drug in the sense of drugs that we're supposed to be scared of. Marijuana is a healing herb. The sooner that we separate the market between marijuana and these other drugs and allow responsible people to be able to buy and sell it, we will continue to see these problems of marijuana being linked to harder drugs.
And in a follow-up of a report we did last month, Washington, D.C. will finally be implementing their medical marijuana program. Since the United States Congress has supreme authority over the city, they have effectively blocked D.C. from spending any money to implement the medical marijuana program that the voters passed back in 1998. But the 2010 appropriations bill that was passed last month included the go-ahead to begin a program in our nation's capital. On Tuesday, D.C. Councilmember David A. Catania proposed a bill that would give the district up to 5 medical marijuana dispensaries where seriously ill patients could go to obtain the drug from a licensed vendor. His proposal was co-sponsored by 9 of the 13 council members, and he would like what he is calling a closed system to regulate the cultivation, distribution, and possession of marijuana. The legislation, which has been referred to both the Health and Public Safety and Judiciary Committees, would allow the dispensaries to distribute up to a month's supply of marijuana to either patients or their registered caregivers. The administration would also be charged with determining what companies get licensed to grow and distribute the marijuana. One unanswered question is where the marijuana would be grown, and this makes the district the 15th location in the nation to permit the use of medical marijuana.
Ah, yes, medical marijuana spreading on the eastern seaboard. And folks, if you don't know about this this D.C. initiative, what happened? You know, they passed it in 1998, this medical marijuana initiative, you know, right on the heels of California passing Prop 215, and at the same year that Oregon and Washington and Alaska were passing their medical marijuana. So unlike the medical marijuana bills that have come out over the past couple of years, the D.C. initiative was actually quite liberal. For example, the D.C. initiative specifies that doctors may recommend marijuana for any condition they feel appropriate. Someone similar to what's going on with California. It also mentions that a person may designate up to 4 caregivers if they are a patient, and that designation need not be in writing. Those people may be friends or relatives or roommates. There's all sorts of leeway in this Washington, D.C. law. Now, the proposal now from the D.C. City Council is to have 5 dispensaries in Washington, D.C. I think that's amazing and remarkable to think that people like Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa and Representative Mark Souter of Indiana, these rabid anti-marijuana prohibitionists, are going to have to go to work every day in a city where there are 5 licensed legal outlets to purchase marijuana and hundreds or most likely thousands of people legally able to use it. It's a beautiful day in America when we can get changes like this.
And a story from the Associated Press, and in our very own backyard here in Oregon, a federal appeals court has ruled that a mobile tracking device can be attached to suspect vehicles when part of a marijuana investigation in the state. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the lower court case in the case of Juan Pineda Moreno, who argued his constitutional rights were violated when U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration agents attached devices to a sport utility vehicle. The DEA agents used several of the devices to track the SUV after they learned that Pineda Moreno and his associates had purchased large amounts of fertilizers, groceries, irrigation equipment, and deer repellent at several stores in the Medford, Oregon area back in 2007. Now, the court noted the agents attached the devices while the vehicles were parked in a driveway and in public areas, including a street and a parking lot. Russ, this is a serious threat to citizen privacy laws. The court ruled that Pineda Moreno had no reasonable expectation of privacy at any of those sites.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
It's the drug war exception to the Bill of Rights that has been, you know, been carved away since the age of Nixon. It's to the point now where you don't have any sort of privacy when you leave your home. You can just figure that if you're in your car, you're driving around, you're outside of the home, you have no expectation of privacy. And even in your home, it's been ruled that they can do all sorts of things like use the infrared and the radar to try to detect what you're doing inside your home. In this case, the police in Medford, Oregon, followed a Mexican-looking man, a Hispanic man, you know, draw your own conclusions about profiling on this one, as he goes to the Home Depot and purchases a large amount of fertilizer. Ah, Mexican with fertilizer. Gosh, it must be an illegal marijuana grow. Couldn't possibly be somebody who works for a landscaping business, or couldn't possibly be someone who owns his own home and is trying to redecorate or replant on the outside. No. A Mexican going to the Home Depot buying a lot of fertilizer. Gotta be an illegal marijuana criminal. And with no warrant, they are able to go to his car while it's parked in the Home Depot and add a tracking device, a bug, you know, something you'd see out of a cartoon or a movie, to track where this guy is going. Turns out, yeah, he was buying deer repellent and other things, and he was charged here or alleged to have been growing marijuana, but that's not the point. You know, these people that have this attitude of, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to fear. Well, that's not what this country was built on. I really can't even imagine how, if, you know, imagine like if we had a time machine, right? And we could go back in time to, you know, 1789 when the founding fathers are in Philadelphia laying down what would become our Bill of Rights. Can you imagine getting Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Ben Franklin, and those cats in a room together and say, okay, guys, check it out. I'm here from the future. And I want to tell you, I just want to ask a question, you know, would it be okay if agents of the state were allowed to secretly hide inside your carriage to determine where you're going and what you're doing and what you're purchasing without any sort of warrant whatsoever in an attempt to prevent people from illegally growing hemp? I think, first of all, the founding fathers would go, wait a minute, growing hemp is illegal in the future? But even if they could get their minds wrapped around that, I think they would be appalled at what has happened to the name of freedom in this country. Land of the free and home of the brave? Give me a break if this is going to be the way we're going to treat our citizens.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, time to check out our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Tomorrow, Thursday, January 21st, Philly Normal's having their open meeting at the A Space, 4722 Baltimore Avenue. Check phillynormal.org for details. Also on Thursday, new to the calendar, California State University Fresno Normal is having their meeting at the USU building, Room 309. Check out CSU Fresno for more details. You can find them on our chapter listings at normal.org/chapters. Also, Friday, January 22nd, Joplin Normal in Joplin, Missouri is having a benefit concert featuring Knucklehead, 4DE, and my new favorite band name, Apocalypse Cow. Check out joplin-normal.org for details. On Saturday, January 23rd, Oregon Normal is having their twice monthly cardholders meeting for members of the Oregon Normal and who are cardholders in the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. Check out ORNORML for details. Also on Saturday, former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson speaks at the RLCNH conference at the University of New Hampshire. Check out unhnormal.org for details or email normal.unh@gmail.com. If you'd like to get your events on the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar, you need to be involved with your local chapter of Normal. So get involved by checking out normal.org/chapters and check the calendar at normal.org/calendar.
It's a Normal shout out.
All right, our shout out today goes out to the great state of Florida, where we are trying to put together more Normal chapters to help spread the word of ending adult marijuana prohibition in one of the most draconian of states. A lot of people don't know this, but the state of Florida actually has lower felony thresholds for marijuana possession than does the federal government. That's right, 20 grams or more, and you're a felon. That's not even an ounce, folks. You're a felon in the state of Florida. Now, we've got a great college chapter in Orlando at the University of Central Florida. They're doing some great work down there. There's a chapter in South Florida, Normal of South Florida, and we're trying to just get more chapters built. So if you're in the state of Florida, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I will send you out a packet on how to get your chapter started. It's real simple. You just need 5 people who are willing to join Normal and form a nonprofit organization in your state. Once you've formed your organization, you apply to affiliate with Normal. We send you the banner and the logos and all of the equipment and all the stuff that you can sell to raise money. And from that point on, you are an independent chapter helping to end marijuana prohibition in your local area. We'd love to have you on board. We're looking for eager young activists as well as seasoned mature activists who maybe have just retired or want to find something to do with their time. Send me an email at stash@normal.org. We got to take a short pause for the good cause, and it's 20 after the hour. I think you know what that cause is. This is Normal Show Live. I'm Radical Russ. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reeferseed and the High Rollers, America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, available now on iTunes and CD Baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, it's time that we pull up Johnny Reeferseed on the phone, calling in from the great state of Iowa. Johnny, welcome back, man.
Hey, how's it going, Russ?
Oh, we're having a good time. Got a lot of people in the chat room. I tell you, a lot of people really like your tune with Afro Man. I played it before the show, and they really like that tune. I played it a couple times. They're really digging it. Can you tell folks where, again, they can get their dose of Johnny Reeferseed if they want to buy your CDs?
We're on iTunes and CD Baby, and we've got a MySpace page, myspace.com/JRSHighRollers.
JRS High Rollers. Check them out. All right, Johnny, what do we got on tap today for Irie Wednesday?
Today is a song by a guy named Sizzla, and in the song, I love the title, it's just Smoke Marijuana. A little bit about Sizzla. I guess he emerged in the latter half of the 90s as one of the most prolific leaders of the conscious reggae dancehall movement. He's released over 45 impressive solo albums, over 15 combination albums across different genres of reggae, and the number of mixtapes he has out on the streets are countless. Kalonji is a member of the Bobo Ashanti Rastafarians, is aggressive in his condemnations of slavery, inhumane acts, and Western oppressors. Overall, his music is generally positive, advocating faith, compassion for poor black youth, and respect for women. He remains something of an enigma to the public at large, rarely granting interviews and keeping his concert appearances to a minimum. Nonetheless, he's still ranked as arguably the most conscious reggae artist of his time. You can learn more about Sizzla at myspace.com/SIZZLAKALONJI, and you can purchase his music on iTunes, too. So I know I'm just going to do what Sizzla says and smoke marijuana.
That sounds like a good idea. Sizzla with Smoke Marijuana.
Yeah.
Folks, if you want to get the link and the download for this tune, check out our blog at stash.normal.org. Look in the menu for media and Toker Tunes. This is Sizzla.
Sometimes the things that need in life may be different.
difficult, not all the time it's gonna be easy. So we go smoke the marijuana and get high. Stay above the wicked and fly. I'm feeling so very good about myself. Babylon ain't feeling good, damn. That's their problem. I smoke the marijuana and get high. Stay above the wicked and fly. And when I got problems at home domestically, and my girl she just wanna come with me, I smoke the marijuana and get out. Stay above the wicked and fly. Love is the order of the day, you better find it. I'm a big man, I put my problems behind me. I smoke the marijuana and get out. Stay above the wicked and fly. So confident in myself, there's nothing nor no one that could get to me. Not even the damn system, so listen properly. Right now I'm Mary and Cherie and living happily. If those Babylonians mess with us today, the music I play and smoke my problems away. Me and a couple of my friends were just chilling on the corner, listening to the music from Jamaica to Bahamas. Yeah, we decided to go link the Bahamas. Need something for the brain, it's the marijuana. Happy as a lark when the good vibes stir up. When the chanting starts, you get burned if you corrupt. We smoke all day and still we got the herbs are above. Go to Babylon, Iraq. We give thanks for the stay, we keep the meditation. Music and more music, we burn the pagans. No if, no buts, no argument. Marijuana is my holy sacrament. I smoke the marijuana and get high. Stay above the wicked and fly. Smoke the marijuana and get high. Give thanks and praise, I desire. All when Babylonians going down, Rastaman still requests 100 pounds. Blaze up the chalice and we pass it around. And if I'm by myself, I gonna smoke it alone. We got the skunk to make you drunk, it make you rock, it makes you bounce. We got the diesel to easel, we got enough for the people. We got the hydro to rise, yeah, smoke and get wiser. Chalice and for blaze, we smoke in purple haze. Smoke the marijuana and get high. Stay above the wicked and fly. Sometimes the things I need in life may be difficult. Not all the time it's gonna be easy. And so we go smoke the marijuana and get high. Stay above the wicked and fly. I'm feeling so very good about myself. Pagans ain't feeling good, well, and that's the problem. I smoke the marijuana and get high. Stay above the wicked and fly. And when I got problem at home domestically, and my lady just wanna quarrel with me, and smoke the marijuana and get high. Stay above the wicked and fly. Love is the higher of the day, you gotta find it. I'm a big man and I put my problem behind me. I smoke the marijuana and get high.
All right, that's Sizzla, smoke the marijuana. Actually, just smoke marijuana, and that's good advice for lots of people out there. So glad to have that Irie Wednesday tune. Thanks to Johnny Reefer Seed for bringing us that music. And again, if you want the download and more of our Daily Toker tunes, just check out our blog at stash.normal.org. And if you go up to the main menu, choose Media, and then Toker Tunes, you'll find our archive of every song that we've played over the past couple of years. Most of them have downloads. There are a few where the artist doesn't want us to offer a free download. You have to surf over to their place. But most of them you can get because they're just interested in getting the music out and pushing for an end to adult marijuana prohibition. Now, when we come back, we are going to be speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany. He is going to be answering your questions in the chat room and taking questions on history and culture and medicine and science. Got a few of them already loaded up, and we'll get to those right after this.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby.
The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany. Now, open wide and say, here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right. Oh, my goodness. Things are going crazy here in the studio. Excuse
me
just a moment.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after
word. Lost a couple of the buttons there. Went a little nuts on me. Sorry about that, Dr. Mitch. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
Oh, yeah. We've got the new live show going on and so much technology. Sometimes it just gets a little out of control. Let me congratulate you first of all on getting your promotion to full professor. That's fantastic.
How about that? You know, old John Morgan always said that sooner or later I could get it if I just pursued my dream, and I was always worried about being an activist and would that interfere with promotion, but in fact it hasn't, and I hope I can sort of send that lesson out to everybody. Do what you really believe in, and things will always pay off.
All right. Well, we're getting a whole bunch of questions from folks in our chat room here that we'll just load them up one at a time. Before we get to theirs, I had one that I wanted to bring up, and that was a study that we had just published here in the past week where they studied the Swedish conscripts, 50,000 of them, for trying to determine if there was some sort of link between cannabis and suicide. Can you give us the update on that?
Bottom line is this sample has been studied for literally decades now, and when you're talking about 50,000 people, clearly this is not an issue where we're not going to be able to generalize from them, and there's absolutely no real link between cannabis use and suicidal ideation, suicidal gestures, or committing suicide, of course. This is hardly news to anybody who's probably listening to The Stash, but years ago there was a publication suggesting increases in suicidal ideation in basically adolescents who were using cannabis, but I think they really had the directionality turned around. You can imagine somebody kind of depressed and sad, thinking maybe they'd turn to the plant for a little help. Obviously, I want to make sure that, you know, folks who are thinking about hurting themselves get in contact with a mental health professional or just talk to any one of your pals, and you'll be surprised at how quickly you can realize life is worth living. And I got to admit, if there's one lesson from this plant, it's that joy is definitely a possibility.
Mm. All right, question here from Yellowwana Cake and AKA Pookie. Both are asking about the ability to treat MRSA, that really resistant bug that comes up in the hospitals and the jails so often, and how cannabis could be used to treat that.
We have seen some intriguing antibiotic effects of cannabis that go all the way back to at least the 50s, but there hasn't been anything published on this particular strain. As you can imagine, this is a really resistant bug, one that has developed and evolved over the years, and when it gets caught in a place like a prison or a hospital, can mutate really quickly. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I don't feel like this should be the front line of defense. The problem with infection is you really need an antibiotic, and you really need it quick. And right now, the state of cannabis medicine on antibiotics is just not as ideal as it could be.
Hmm. Okay, well, we'll keep a look at that and see how that develops. We have another question from a listener here who is asking about the use of hash oil and says that they have a great hash oil that gives them a lot of medical benefits. Can they use that in a tea? Would that seep into the water? Would it really work effectively that way?
The clincher with hash oil is there really is the THC right in there. So if you're really willing to mix it into the water and imbibe it, by all means, that'll work. Where things have gone awry is people are, you know, taking an eighth and throwing it in water alone, boiling it up and wondering why that's not working. THC isn't really water soluble. So if you strain the plant out, you're not going to get a lot of THC in there. THC is fat soluble. So if you like your tea with milk and want to boil up some milk with your cannabis, by all means, that's a possibility. The general butters we've talked about before, where folks can cook their cannabis in butter at a low heat over a double boiler, and that can be productive. And by all means, if the hash oil is working and you want to mix it in any beverage that'll make it a little more palatable, that should do the trick.
Do you have any recommendations as to places where people can get, you know, recipes or more information on how to make those sort of preparations?
I mean, my favorite has always been the High Times DVD that was put out by the former man, the chef Ra, and I really love his approach to it. But I'm finding again and again, if folks are willing to just, you know, take a stick of butter and about an eighth and put it in a double boiler, melt it all up together for about 20, 25 minutes, and then strain out the plant material, you're going to have a pretty effective dose right there. And by all means, be very, very careful with the edibles because, you know, they create that 11-hydroxy-THC right. that you don't often get with smoking, and it can really sneak up on you. And then the other problem is if you cook with that butter and then later get the munchies, make sure you don't turn to that exact same thing you just ate in order to relieve your munchies. Or it's
you end
be
up
a
in an endless loop. endless loop there, right?
Exactly.
We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's a leading drug and alcohol researcher at the State University of New York in Albany, answering your questions in the chat. Got a few more that we'll get to here. You did briefly mention when people use edibles, how the edible, how that process of eating it versus smoking it produces this 11 THC that you'd mentioned. Tell folks the difference. Because people know that Delta-9 THC is the main ingredient in pot that gets them, you know, the psychoactive ingredient. What's this 11 THC that you're mentioning?
Well, the clincher with edibles is that it makes this 11-hydroxy-THC, which is essentially quicker to pass the blood-brain barrier. You've got this wonderful barrier between your brain and the rest of your blood that keeps nasty things out but lets good things come in. And 11-hydroxy-THC actually can go through faster than our plain old Delta-9. The other thing to keep in mind, too, is when you're smoking, a lot of times a lot of the THC is lost to sidestream smoke. So your estimate of what, say, a half a gram will do to you is often cut down a little bit from what it would be if you actually ate that whole gram. And so, again, we have to keep that in mind. Also, because digestion takes longer than inhalation to have its effects, people can be deceived and end up using a markedly higher dose than they mean to. So if you're going to try an edible that you're not familiar with, by all means, give it a good 2 hours before you decide to up your dose.
Is there a similar problem with the use of the government-approved Marinol pills?
Alas, the problem with Marinol is not only that it's orally administered, but it's THC and THC only. And unfortunately, THC all by itself, without the wonderful cannabidiol and other cannabinoids in the plant, can be real discombobulating, seems to produce a lot of the more magical ideation and hallucinatory effects that may not be your goal as a medical user.
Okay. Back to our chat room questions. We have a listener named New Jersey Leaper, NJ Leaper from New Jersey, who wants to know, now that New Jersey has medical marijuana voted in, and I guess this could also be generally to the other states, how can we get more use of medical marijuana for people in hospices, or have any hospices been eager to embrace the use of medical marijuana that you know of?
It's curious because I'm finding the medical community is not always misinformed, but simply uninformed about these techniques. So they have no idea about the vaporizer or even about edibles. And so they're concerned about, you know, lighting a fire in a hospital setting because of the use of oxygen and other flammable materials that might be really problematic. Wheeling somebody outside to the smoking area in order to use their medicine doesn't sound like it should be too much of a hassle, but again, folks have been a little bit concerned. I feel like particularly in hospices, they ought to be open to this, and the key is going to be educating them. Everybody who recalls Chris Goldstein, when he used to do the show, he's been talking about this and working hard in New Jersey to make sure these ideas can reach the people who really, you know, need this medicine the most.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's something that definitely needs to be expanded, the use of medical marijuana in these hospices, people that are on their last days dying of some, you know, really painful maladies. And you know, one of the things I think also that we need to understand about the medical use of marijuana is, you know, our opponents will constantly talk about the high, you know, the terrible, terrible high that you get from marijuana. Boy, I'm thinking if you're close to death's door, maybe getting a high could be psychologically a good thing.
What's funny is Valerie Corral tells some of the most persuasive and moving stories about this, where she's working with folks literally on their deathbeds sometimes who were really just begging for one hit to, you know, either keep them from shaking or alleviate pain and anguish and things like that, and in some ways not have some of the weird effects that we get from morphine and the opiate drugs that are often used for pain. I really feel like this is not only going to be helpful to more and more people, but actually save us some money because cannabis is so inexpensive compared to a lot of those other drugs that are administered to folks at the end of life.
Yes. Another question here from the chat room. Atheist B is asking about the usage of cannabis to help treat cerebral palsy. How much science do we have on that, doctor?
It's neat because there are some pretty compelling anecdotal cases, including one that has been videotaped where you really watch this guy take a hit and suddenly the aspects of shaking that are stereotypical of that disorder seem to improve pretty dramatically. So I'd love to see more and more work on that. What's odd is other things that have strange motor symptoms don't always respond. So Huntington's chorea, which it seems like cannabis ought to help, but doesn't seem to work on. So it's intriguing to note that the drug is in some sense very specific to these symptoms and does seem very helpful for folks who are suffering from cerebral palsy, especially folks who've really got that bad shaking aspect of it.
Yeah, I've heard that as well from some patients here in Oregon and seen the results with them. So it's definitely something we want to look into. Also, New Jersey Leaper in the chat room did want to put a shout out to the Karen Ann Quinlan Hospice. Their website is KarenAnnQuinlanHospice.org to help inform them about how medical marijuana would be useful for their patients there in the hospice. So encourage anyone out there listening that has good information on this to get involved and make those emails and those letters count. Another question we've got here has to do with psychological disorders. Specifically here, why is post-traumatic stress disorder always left out of these medical marijuana bills? And I guess a follow-up would be, what sort of science do we have to back up the use of medical marijuana for PTSD?
The curious thing about this is there really is a superb treatment for PTSD that is that exposure-based one that nobody really likes to do, and it's literally sitting down, talking about, writing about, you know, re-experiencing as best as you can the trauma. And of course, this is really a drag, but if you can stick it out for a good 12 sessions, people really get better without any medication at all. So that's been part of, I think, the resistance behind this. The PTSD studies have not been well-funded, as you can imagine, so we don't have the nice randomized control trial where some people get it and some people don't, and we see who gets better. There's also some new data suggesting that morphine administered to folks soon after the trauma seems to help, and I'm afraid everybody's going to lean on that really hard when, in fact, there are already so many people out there with PTSD who could really benefit from this medicine. I'm actually working on a survey study that I'm hoping I can get out to normal audio stash listeners and maybe the normal mailing list to try to get more and more vets to respond to this and just report their experiences and get their expectations about how this works. And maybe we'll have a better data set to draw from in order to make sure these disorders, in particular PTSD, get included in bills subsequently.
All right. Well, we're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, a researcher at SUNY Albany. And folks, if you've got more questions, we're kind of running out of time in the segment, but if you've got more questions, you can always send them by email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com, and we'll answer them here on the show. Let me get a couple more here real quick that I think we could cover. A lot of the medical marijuana laws cover hepatitis C. How is it that cannabis helps people with hepatitis C?
The curious thing about this is a lot of the hep C treatments are extremely nauseating and just incredibly aversive in that sense. And so it's not that cannabis defeats hep C or alters the liver function so much as it just makes the medications that you need to take much more tolerable. So everybody's heard of interferon, and it's just outrageously aversive. I watched my poor Uncle Chuck have to deal with that, and it's really, really hard to stick to those medical regimens. But if you've got some cannabis to essentially look forward to keep the nauseating reactions to those drugs to a minimum, people are much more likely to complete their treatments and in the long run have a better chance of recovering.
All right. Well, Dr. Earlywine, thank you for joining us by telephone from New York State today. Dr. Earlywine joins us every Wednesday for our dose of cannabis science. And again, congrats on making full professor.
Thanks so much, and looking forward to talking next week.
All right. It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live.
Welcome back, everyone. 46 after the hour, and as we round out today's show, I wanted to talk a little bit about something that I get across my desk here at Normal quite a bit, actually. This is a kind of a recurring theme I get from people that are really well-meaning in the movement, and they want to see that we put our best foot forward. This came from a Normal member in Arizona who wrote, "I would encourage all of you at National Normal to think about the word pot. I don't think you need to police anybody about the words they use. Simply choose not to use this word in the public realm." And I've heard similar things like, we shouldn't say marijuana because it's a racist slang term, a Mexican slang term, or we shouldn't say, you know, reefer or weed and so on. Let me give you my take on this, first of all. Now, what I'm about to tell you, this is not like, you know, Normal's official style guide, and it's not like I'm going to be the PC police out there to make sure everybody talks correctly. But here's some thoughts about that. Cannabis is the plant we're trying to liberate. That is the scientific word. It is Cannabis sativa L. When I'm writing in a medical or scientific context or talking about medicine or science, I'll use the word cannabis. When I talk about using it medically or personally, I usually try to say cannabis as well. If I'm kind of undecided, tie goes to cannabis. If it's between marijuana and cannabis, cannabis is exactly what I will go with. However, the word marijuana, well, we are the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. So how do we reconcile that, right? Do we just like go like the NAACP, right? National Association for the Advancement of Colored People? It's not like anybody calls anybody colored people anymore, you know, at least if they want to be taken seriously. So do we change our acronym? I don't really think so. I don't think NORCL sounds so great. And besides, it's got such high brand recognition. You know, like 25% of the American people, even people that don't smoke marijuana, know what normal means. So I think it's kind of a thing like NAACP where we're kind of stuck with the acronym. However, I always like to point this out too. We are fighting to reform marijuana laws. That is the way they are written in statute. It will say an act to prohibit marijuana, and it's either marijuana with a J or marijuana with an H. So to me, cannabis is the plant that we use. Marijuana laws are what we're trying to reform. The word pot, I don't really like the word pot. And it's not because I think it's a demeaning word or an insulting word. I just think it's a silly word. Pot. Why do we call pot pot? Because it grows in a pot? I don't like it. But, you know, Keith Straub, his famous saying when he goes out on the road is, "I smoke pot and I like it a lot." So I don't think there's anything necessarily really wrong with the word pot, but I much prefer cannabis. But here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's where it gets a little more interesting. We need to get our message out to the most people possible. And when we start considering getting Google search hits, marijuana kicks cannabis's butt. You'll get 10 times the hits on your website using the word marijuana than using the word cannabis. Pot also outperforms cannabis. And when you're trying to write a text message or a tweet where letters are at a premium, pot is 3 letters, marijuana is 9, cannabis is 8. So when it comes to writing a headline or titling a seminar or a presentation, I'll use the word pot or marijuana to get the people in. But then once they're in and I start talking about the plant, I'll start calling it cannabis. So that's kind of the way I look at that. Now, a couple of other terms that we often hear in our movement here are pothead and stoner. And I put these up on the Stash blog at stash.normal.org, and I asked people, do you find it offensive if people call us a pothead or people call us a stoner? And a lot of people want to bury this in the same linguistic grave as a certain 6-letter word that starts with a letter N. And I'm not going to say the N word because I'm not 6 years old, okay? But we know what word we're talking about, right? I don't think we can really bury the word. And the reason why is because they actually accurately describe some of us in this movement, right? For example, I consider myself a pothead. To me, a pothead is someone who's all about pot, knows the history of pot, knows what pot is good for you, cannabis, marijuana, whatever, and can intelligently discuss the issue. For example, Slater in Dazed and Confused was a pothead. Now, stoners, on the other hand, stoners are just people who like to get stoned. They like to get high. They don't really care too much about lobbying or marching or, you know, writing letters or really know that much about marijuana other than when they smoke it, they like it. Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, that's a stoner. And what came down when I asked this up on the blog, I asked people what their opinions of it were. They did kind of treat it like a certain 6-letter word that starts with the letter N. They said, it's okay if we're using it, if we're talking to each other about it and we use those words. But when they start calling us potheads or stoners, that's the problem. That's a real big problem. Now, myself, I like to call us tokers. And I've even got some heat on that, too, because some people will say, well, I just vaporize or I just use edibles. Okay, whatever. But I like to call us tokers because I think it's a friendly word. You know, it puts you in the mind of that Steve Miller song. I'm a joker, I'm a toker, I'm a midnight smoker, right? And it kind of fits, you know, it specifically describes someone, right? A toker is definitely not someone who's smoking tobacco, for example, right? A toker is specifically a marijuana smoker. And I think that toker fits well for making a frame of why of putting it in the mind of the other legal intoxicants, right? Alcohol and tobacco. So we'll have smokers, drinkers, and tokers. And that, you know, toker helps tie us to smoker and drinker as being something that's kind of legal and kind of, you know, allowed or accepted in this society. Now, if I had my druthers, though, the word that we would use would be cannabis consumers. I like the word cannabis consumers, but it is a little, you know, a little hoity-toity, don't you think? Cannabis consumers. I don't really like the word recreational user because, number one, I don't like the word recreational because that sounds like, you know, we're going to get an RV and a tent, you know. And user, I don't like user because that's too close to, you know, heroin user, cocaine user, and so on. So I don't like user so much. Social user's okay. Social user, I think, kind of brings up social drinker, and it helps to make that distinction. You know, people say, oh, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm a social drinker. Well, I'm not a stoner, I'm a social user. You know, kind of the similar idea there. So, in a sense here, I guess people engaged in the medicinal use of cannabis are following medical marijuana laws. People following those laws are medical marijuana patients, but they use medical cannabis, right? Because the medical marijuana law, at least here in the state of Oregon, is the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act. So there we go. That's what I think. And for some of the other terms, things like weed, herb, smoke, grass, gauge, ganja, muggles, tea, you know, whatever, I think there's a place for those words too. Not in writing news stories or talking to the mainstream or anything, but in our own culture, some of those words definitely give you a better flavor of what you're trying to express, right? Like if I just told you I smoked some grass with a celebrity, versus if I told you I smoked a blunt with a celebrity, well, in the former case, you'd think Willie Nelson. In the latter case, you'd think Snoop Dogg, right? So the words themselves can have a certain meaning. When you talk about ganja, right? Boom, that brings to mind Rastafarians, brings to mind religious use. When you say herb, that brings to mind more of a medical flavor to it. So I'm not afraid of any of these words, and I don't think anybody should stop using certain words just because I say so, but that's just kind of how I think about those situations. And I'm going to bring Carrie in on the line here too, because I know she has kind of opinions this way as well. Carrie, you've been following this discussion in the chat room, and what do people think about this idea of the different words we use for marijuana or cannabis or whatever?
Well, it just seems like everybody's got a lot of opinions. It's, someone made the statement that in every local area has their own words, their own slang for this herb. And I do like herb. You didn't mention herb.
Yeah, toward the end there, a little bit of herb.
But, yeah, it seems like everybody's in agreement that we want to quit referring to it as dope. So nobody use that anymore.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
Take that one out of the vernacular.
Okay, that, you know, I did not bring that one up. Yeah, dope is the one I hate the worst. I hate that one the worst, and I always tell people to never use the word dope. Dope has a connotation to heroin, right? Has a connotation to smack, and that's definitely nothing we want to bring across with marijuana, certainly. This is great. I'm loving the stuff coming up here on the chat, checking out everybody's opinions on this. Again, just to summarize, I think, you know, cannabis is the plant. Marijuana laws are what we are trying to overturn. All right. Coming up on the future Normal Daily Audio Stash, I want to let you know, Normal Show Live. The stash is when it's archived. It's been a long day for me, folks. But coming up on tomorrow's Normal Show Live, we'll be going to sunny Southern California and visiting with Terry Joyce. You may remember her from season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. She's been a comedian in Southern California and a medical marijuana activist for quite some time now. She's always got exciting and interesting guests for us to talk to. I believe tomorrow we've got a comedian joining us, so we'll have a little bit of fun on the show. Friday, we will be featuring our Cultivator's Corner. We do that every fourth Friday of the month, where we're joined by High Time Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko, who's also in our chat room a little bit earlier. I don't know if he's still there. But Danny joins us to answer your questions about marijuana cultivation, anything you'd want to know, hydroponics, using soil, aeroponics, LED lights. He can answer all the questions. You can send them in via chat, or you can send them to me by email at stash@normal.org. And for those of you who came into the show late, you can catch an archived podcast of this show to be uploaded at stash.normal.org later this evening. Normally, that would be uploaded by about 2:30 Pacific time. Unfortunately, today, I do have a doctor's appointment I have to get to immediately after this show concludes. So I'll leave the chat room open. I'll leave you some music for the chat and everything. But I got to hit the road, got to get to the doctor. All right. Also, let's round this out, too, with a look at some other stories that we've been following at stash.normal.org at our Stash blog. Great information up there for anybody who's interested in finding out more about the marijuana movement in this country. I also post things up there, a thing called Politicians on Pot, where we ask the listeners to write to their local officials, and when they get a response back about marijuana legalization, we post it up on the web so that everybody can know what these people think. So we're looking to get some response now from that new senator in Massachusetts, Scott Brown, who was just elected in that special election in Massachusetts. Also, let's see here, looking here, I want to give everyone a note here. Oh, geez, that story just fell off the page. Anyway, I guess it's not that important. We'll bring it up on tomorrow's show. Hope you join us here at live.normal.org every day, Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern time, for the latest in your cannabis news and information. And, of course, don't forget to join Normal. Check us out on the web at norml.org. You can join just a one-time donation. You can make a regular donation. And you can become a part of ending adult marijuana prohibition. If you'd like to get involved in starting a Normal chapter, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and we'll take care of that for you as well. Carrie, anything else before we sign off here? Give you a chance to say goodbye to everyone.
I do want to say goodbye. Some stashers were concerned about your health, Russ. Let everybody know that you're doing great.
Oh, yes. It's just, it's amazing. You know, for all of my life, I've had the health plan called Don't Get Sick or Hurt. And so I haven't gone to doctors. You know, I haven't gone to, you know, have regular checkups or physicals. So nothing serious with my health. My health is perfectly fine. I've been using cannabis since 1990. I rarely get colds or infections. But, you know, you get to be about 42 years old, it's time to go see a doctor and, you know, get certain things checked out. Not necessarily looking forward to it, but you know, it needs to be done. I'm Radical Russ for Normal, for Cannabis Carry, and everyone, thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.